I wonder if we were asked what this story that Pamela read for us was all about. What would we answer? I'm fairly certain we would get the reply that the one that we've learned and heard growing up in Sunday school, we need to have faith in Jesus Christ, that if we want to survive the torrents of life, if we want to be able to get to the end of time and not hear Jesus say those words, "I never knew you," then we need to have faith in Jesus Christ. And you won't be surprised to know that I think that is incredibly important. It is only through faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior that saves us from hearing what must be awful words to hear. "I never knew you." But what you might be surprised to hear is that this parable is actually saying something much more challenging than you simply need to have faith in Jesus Christ. These are the closing remarks of Jesus when he was finishing his sermon on the Mount. And he'd been teaching his disciples. We need to realize that sermon was directed towards his disciples. It just so happens that there were crowds of people listening in to what Jesus was saying. And so it's interesting then that he ended this by saying to his disciples, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 7:21. Again, Jesus is talking primarily to the disciples. The crowds are listening in. And he's saying to these followers of his that simply being around me, simply acknowledging me as Lord, and actually it's more than that, because when he said "Lord, Lord," he said something much more emphatic. He's saying, look, shouting it from the rooftops, actually getting really defensive about me when somebody says something that you don't like, that will not guarantee a place in heaven. We need to let that sink in. Our love for Christ, our devotion to him, the way in which we defend him, the fact that we say the words, "Jesus is Lord," that's not what qualifies us for heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Verse 21. And Jesus goes on to say that even if we argue, even if we plead, "But Lord, we did this. We prophesied. We preached. We served the church. We led the GB. We washed the dishes for the GB so somebody would stick some money in an envelope. We worked in the holiday Bible club. We were elders. Lord, I was a minister. I stood up for you." Still, it is possible for Jesus to say, "I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws." Matthew 7:23. And so what are we saying this morning? That we need to do something in order to enter the kingdom of heaven? That glory is something we earn? That God's favor is something that we work to in order that we would deserve it? Well, I hope you know God, and I hope you know the scriptures, and indeed by now, I hope you know me well enough to know that, one, that's not a message that we find in the scriptures or something that I would preach. Salvation is entirely based on what Jesus has done for us. Our faith, our hope in him are the ways in which that salvation is available to us. But it is only what Jesus has done that brings salvation. But actually in that, we have the heart of what Jesus is teaching. He's explaining what that faith and hope in him, what it looks like in real life. How it's worked out. And to understand what he's saying, we need to get to the heart of that phrase, only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter, my Father in heaven will enter. What does it mean to do the will of the Father? And so Jesus told a story, two men building two houses. The first house was built on rock, solid foundations, and so it was able to withstand the torrents of the storm and the lashing of the waves. And as someone who lives in Port Stewart, right on the coast this last week or so, I know what that looks like. And the strong foundations enabled that house to stand. And anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it, Jesus saying, if you want to build on strong foundations, you have to listen to my teaching and you have to follow it. Faith is more than simply hearing words. It's more than hearing words and even giving assent to them or support to them. Jesus is very clearly saying that faith involves putting those words into action. He's echoing John the Baptist, who said to the Pharisees who'd come to watch him baptize in Matthew 3, verse 8, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Other translations, maybe more familiar translations, say, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. The whole thrust of Scripture is that our faith in God should change us, or actually that God should be changing us, but our faith demonstrates that change. What God is doing in our lives should be visible for others to see. Paul talks in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, about us being a new creation. If we are in Christ, if we have faith in Christ, then the old has gone and the new has come. And in that letter, he's talking about how we've been reconciled with God. The things that once separated us from God, they have been removed. And we are viewed by God in a new and wonderful way. But there's another aspect to this as well. It's that the old way of life has gone. In Romans 6:6, Paul said that the old self was crucified with Christ so that we might not be ruled by sin anymore, that we would be freed to a new way of life. And this is what Jesus is saying. Faith is the courage, it's the desire, it's the willingness to live a different way, his way, by being obedient to him. Now we need to be clear, Jesus isn't saying you need to be good enough. It's not about earning something from God. It's just simply the way that we show our trust in God. It's demonstrated in how we live. It is that picture of that team building exercise that we've all had to endure at some point, I'm sure, that we did with the kids this morning, with Elijah falling back into my arms. You show your trust through a willingness to do something that is countercultural. And the reason I wanted it on the screen, I wanted him to panic when he saw me lying down, that it looked as though I didn't care. You know, it's completely countercultural. But this is how Jesus is describing faith in him. And so in a very practical way, I'm trying to flesh this out. I want to speak particularly to our young people today, although not exclusively, I have to say. But I want to speak particularly to our teenagers. The choices we make around things like relationships. The choices we make around who we date. How we date. Our attitudes to things like marriage and sex. All of that displays our trust in Christ. How we approach Sabbath observance. Now, I am not legalistic, okay? I'm not saying you can't go out and kick a football on a Sunday. But what I am saying is how you demonstrate your faith in God is seen in how you organize your week so that today is a priority, so that you are free and able to worship and not be committed to something else, even if that's revision and even if that is if you have an exam tomorrow morning. It's a question of our faith in God, our trust in him, to live in the way that he has told us. He has said, keep today special. Do we do that? It's not a question of legalism, it's a question of trust. Choices about how we forgive, our willingness to welcome the outcast, all of this displays our faith in Christ. It's countercultural. It goes against the grain. We may well stick out like a sore thumb, but it builds our faith in Christ. It gives us that foundation that we need for life. I'm going to be very rude because I just realized most of the young people are standing behind me, so forgive me for just a moment. If we are able to show our faith in these small things, if we train ourselves to trust God in these small things, then in later life, whenever other things come, whenever we're dealing with death, whenever we're dealing with illness, whenever we're dealing with the fact that one day we might be in a job and then have be paid off, we will have something to build on. We will have a resilience. We will have a faith in Christ that has been tried and tested, and so we have more to fall back on. And this is what Jesus wants for us. This is what Jesus is saying that transformation in him begins to look like in day-to-day life. It means that we're better equipped. To simply say Jesus is Lord, but not to live that lordship will mean that we have built our life on something that is always shifting and is insecure. And so whenever that inevitable storm in life comes, because we all get hit by a storm at one point, there's nothing to support us. But worse than that, it's building our life on a false hope that actually all Jesus is seeking from us is an affirmation, is some form of assent. But that's not faith. And so Jesus' plea is that we would not only hear his words, but that we would trust them and live them. That we would take them into our hearts. Yes, trust Christ. Put your faith in him, but demonstrate that faith to be real by living for him. And in doing that, to not only say that he is Lord, but to show that he is Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all that Jesus has done for us. We thank you for that life where he demonstrated total trust and faith in you. And it wasn't an easy life. It wasn't as though because he was your son, he had special privileges and so everything was that bit easier. He lived a difficult life. He was tempted as we are, yet did not sin. He faced the anguish of Gethsemane and yet still said, "Not my will, but yours." And he kept going. And so, Lord, we thank you for him. And we pray, Lord, that as we do put our trust in him, that as we do give assent to the fact that he is our Lord, that you would enable us to do so much more. That we would follow in his footsteps. And we would actually put flesh on that faith through our actions. Father, forgive us for the many times where we get this wrong. Thank you that your grace is the thing that we hold to. And so we know we're secure that this isn't about passing a test and avoiding failure, Lord, but help us to be better. Help us to live our faith in a better way because we know, Lord, that there's more freedom in that. There's more joy in that. And there's more peace in that. We thank you for our young people. Lord, we thank you for what they bring to our community and family of believers here in Ballywillan. Help us to nurture them. Lord, enable them to live for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.